Well, Steve will join us in a minute. Good afternoon. This is the September 28th, 9th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Saltzman? Novick? Ritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for patience and flexibility. We have two items left over from yesterday's council calendar that we're going to take up this afternoon. If you go ahead and read them both, please. 1081 and 1082.
1081. Title 11, Trees, Urban Forestry Trust Funds 2016 Report, and 1082, Authorize an Intergovernmental Agreement between Portland Parks and Recreation and Portland State University to develop a citywide tree planting strategy.
Ritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Portland Parks and Recreation has a large, we offer lots of services that Portlanders value, and one of them is the urban forest by planting trees citywide. Title 11, the Tree Code, became effective in January of 2015 and established a Tree Planting and Preservation Trust Fund. Item 1081 is the required annual report of Tree Code Trust Funds. Portland Parks and Recreation City Forester Jen Cairo will present the report, which includes the revenue and expenditures of two trust funds. These trust funds are the only resources dedicated by the City Code to one of Portland's most treasured assets, trees. As Jen will explain, these funds are generated through the collection of mitigation fees, penalty fees, and fees in lieu of planting. And these funds do not come from the city's general fund.
Great. Thank you,
Jen. With that, I will introduce Jen Cairo, City Forester.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mr. Mayor. And I will introduce Dr. Vivek Chandas. He's a professor of urban studies and planning at Portland State University and also an urban forestry commissioner, and he'll be doing part of the presentation today in regards to the intergovernmental agreement. So we are reporting today to Council on the Title 11 Urban Forestry Trust Funds as required, and we'll also be requesting your approval of an ordinance to finalize a partnership with Portland State University for development of a citywide tree planting strategy using some of these trust funds. First, we will describe the two funds established by Title 11 and their permitted uses. We'll give balances and expenditures for both of the funds and then describe how those expenditures were used. We will describe our work to develop a citywide tree planting strategy. And finally, we'll request that Council accept the report and approve the ordinance for the strategy. And we're presenting these items together because they both pertain to the Urban Forestry Trust Funds. Title 11 Trees established two trust funds for urban forestry. The specific code sections are 11.15, and those two funds are the Urban Forestry Fund and the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund. These two funds have different sources, funding sources, and have different uses. Both are administered by the city forester, and the balances are carried over beyond the fiscal year. The first I'll talk about is the Urban Forestry Fund. Funds into the Urban Forestry Fund are restoration fees, civil penalties, or civil remedies, so penalty fees, that are due to violations of city code involving city and street trees. City trees, to remind you, are trees that are on city-owned property, and street trees are specifically city-owned trees that are in city rights-of-way. And in this case, that's distinguished from private trees. So private penalties do not go into the Urban Forestry Fund. The uses of the fund include replacing, establishing, maintaining city or street trees that have been illegally removed or damaged, planting, establishing, maintaining city or street trees, funding urban education, urban forestry education, outreach, technical assistance, and also funding other general forestry-related activities. This fund can also receive voluntary contributions as well. The second of the two new trust funds under Title 11 is the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund. Its source is primarily mitigation fees. It also receives restoration fees for enforcement actions regarding private trees, and it also can receive voluntary contributions. Mitigation fees for trees is payment in partial compensation for the value of the public asset and community services lost when the tree was cut down. And an example of when mitigation fees might be generated is in a private property development situation in certain zoning areas of the city on certain property sizes. one-third of the trees on that property that are not exempt from the code can be retained, or the property developer may choose to remove them and would pay mitigation fees for those trees that are removed. And you've all heard quite a bit about that in the recent past, I think. The funds may be used for planting trees on public or private property in the same watershed where it was collected, and I'll speak more to that in a minute. It can also be used for purchasing conservation easements for perpetual retention of trees and tree canopy, and it can be used to acquire land permanently where there are existing trees. Title 11 requires expenditure of the tree planting and preservation fund in the watersheds in which they were collected. The strategy that we are going to create for the city for citywide tree planting will reflect this watershed distribution requirement. The map here shows where mitigation and penalty payments were collected from the start of Title 11 in January of 2015 through the end of the last fiscal year, June 30th. Planning for and planting trees is a multi-year undertaking, while the fund revenue changes on a weekly, if not daily, basis. Therefore, to meet this requirement, we tracked the funds collected by watershed and calculated each watershed's percent of the whole. We'll use these proportions to guide planting and establishment expenditures from the fund for the next few years and then recalculate again. So at this point, the distribution that we have is 19% in the Columbia watershed, 8% in the Fano and Tryon Creek watersheds, those are grouped together in the code, 17% in the Johnson Creek watershed, and 56% in the Willamette watershed. Moving on to fund revenue. Revenue accumulated by the two funds since the beginning of Title 11 implementation to the end of fiscal year 15-16, so again June 30th. In the Urban Forestry Fund, there's a total of $11,650. And in the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund, $677,000. You'll notice that the first 6 months of code implementation, there were no penalty fees generated. And you might recall that during the initial implementation of the tree code, we focused on outreach and communicating permit requirements rather than enforcement, so there were no penalty fees collected because penalties were not pursued. And you'll also notice that the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund is significantly larger than the Urban Forestry Fund, and that's due to the fact that enforcement fees and donations are a lot less frequent than mitigation payments. So tree mitigation payments are by far the largest source of revenue to these funds, and as Commissioner Fritz noted earlier, these are the only dedicated funds for us to use for tree planting and other tree activities. In this expenditures table, you'll see that there were no expenditures for the same time period from the Urban Forestry Fund, and that the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund, a total of $85,683 were expended. That leaves a balance of $11,650 in the Urban Forestry Fund and $591,317 in the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund. And you'll notice there on that lower part of the slide the asterisk. Just to give a general frame of reference for how much tree the remaining funds in the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund might get us, it would buy about 1,354 street trees, planting and establishing them for the next 3 years. It should be noted that there are many variables influencing the unit cost of tree planting, so this is really just to give you a concept. It could change a lot. These expenditures were mostly for materials and supplies, things like tree stock, also in some cases labor. And what we did with the expenditures from the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund was they helped to plant and establish 2,562 trees citywide. These trees were planted by parks and urban forestry with partners. 93% of those trees planted during this time period were large form, evergreen, or native species. And that's a positive and important measure because these tree types return the greatest services to the community over their lifetimes by far. And for this reason, planting these tree types is a specific goal in the city's current urban forest management plan. Most of the trees planted were in 52 different developed parks and in 20 natural areas across the city. And the lower half of the slide, the example and the photo there, is from our Learning Landscapes program. And this is one example of how some of these funds were expended in the past period. The Learning Landscapes program is a an ongoing program. It's been in existence for quite a while, and it establishes schoolyard arboreta with kids planting the trees. It also has a curriculum component that teaches students about trees, the functions of trees, and hopefully builds some tree appreciation among the next generation of Portlanders. After the trees are planted by the kids, Urban Forestry and the Youth Conservation Crew tree team provide establishment care for those trees for the next 3 years. Thus far, 5 districts in the city have been involved in the Learning Landscapes program over the duration of its existence. Those are David Douglas, Portland Public Schools, Centennial, Reynolds, and Park Rose. The program's open to all districts, and we also work with charter and alternative schools. And you'll see here that not many trees were planted compared to 2,562 trees. There were only 72, but we had 600 participants. So this is a great example of where we're connecting kids with nature, and a lot of the measurement of the success of the program is how many kids we actually get engaged. Okay, now we're shifting towards what will be coming with the trust funds. And we've begun an undertaking to develop a citywide tree planting strategy. And the strategy will give us a plan for how best to use the resources in the most effective and strategic way for planting trees across the city. So basically, how to get the most bang for our buck. And to date, we haven't spent a lot of the trust funds because we wanted a good plan in place for using them first. Our goal in creating the strategy is to distribute tree canopy services equitably to all residents in the city, to plant high service trees and prioritize the areas with the most need, and plant trees that are sustainable, will survive and flourish for many years to come. We'll also be looking at air quality and other public health connections to trees in the urban forest, where the urban forest can improve public health, and we'll be also looking at environmental justice factors. We're interested in applying the most up-to-date best management practices, and of course, expanding the tree canopy across the city, which has been a long-standing goal for the city. We also recognize that urban forests provide quantifiable services to city residents, and that since our forest is inequitably distributed, some areas are underserved. In general, less affluent areas of Portland tend to have fewer trees, and this is a long-standing pattern in spite of significant tree planting efforts to date. We'll be working on this tree planting strategy in partnership with Portland State University. Professor Shandas Vivek has dedicated graduate students who'll be working on the project, and also his lab, the Portland State Sustaining Urban Places Lab, has extensive support and expertise that they can provide, and you'll hear more about that in a minute. So the ordinance before you for potential approval is to provide $50,000 from the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund to support the creation of the citywide tree planting strategy. And the deliverable that the ordinance would provide for is completion of the strategy itself, the plan, that would be ready for initial implementation starting next winter, fiscal year 17-18, and for ongoing use thereafter. And now I'll turn it over to Vivek.
Hello. Thank you, Commissioners, Mayor Hales. A little bit about us. I think more than anything else, this project epitomizes Portland State's motto, let knowledge serve the city. And our lab has been trying to do this exact thing for almost a decade now. And we are really well positioned, at least is the case that I'd like to make, for doing this work, in part because we've been working extensively across numerous bureaus. We have ongoing climate collaborations with Bureau of Planning Sustainability, ongoing connections with the Water Bureau, other collaborations with Bureau of Environmental Services, and of course with forestry. And so what this extensive amount of engagement that we've had has really given us a much better insight into the way the city operates, the way decisions are being made, and where we want to position ourselves in terms of being able to use the data and the students and other resources that we have for being able to develop this tree planting strategy. We've to date already invested over $100,000 in work looking at Portland's canopy and starting to really characterize in a very systematic way where we have canopy, where we don't, and which communities are benefiting and being challenged by this canopy. The specific project itself, what we, the strategy we expect to take to develop this strategy is one that looks at really the best practices across the country. We want to make sure we leave no rock unturned, and looking at how other cities are expanding their canopy and looking at how they're really addressing a lot of these equity concerns that pretty much is a systematic pattern we've noticed across cities, across cities in the U.S. This leads into a plan evaluation process that's a pretty tried and true approach in the planning literature that allows us to look at specific strategies as well as goals that these strategies are trying to address. The evaluation looks not only at other cities, but what we expect to do is an inward look as well, and looking at the numerous plans that actually interact with the urban forest. Right now, as far as we can tell, the numerous plans that are currently effective in the city are very disparate in terms of how they effectively address the urban canopy. And what we really want to do is, again, create a systematic approach that aligns numerous plans that the city has committed to. This includes a comprehensive plan, the urban forestry management plan, the climate action plan, the preparedness plan, and so on. We are looking to get a lot of input from stakeholders. These are folks in the bureaus themselves, as well as community stakeholders. And another resource we expect to bring to this is what's called a LIDAR spatial analysis data set, which the city has already committed some money to with Metro and several other jurisdictions in the area to fly a plane in 2014 to collect a tremendous amount of very high-resolution data of the city. Our lab essentially processed those data over the last year and have now, as never before, a digital surface model of the city that shows essentially where there are spaces for planting, both in public and private spaces, and to use these data to be very careful about how we go about identifying locations in terms of a planting strategy. To do this, we've found that a lot of tree planting in the city, and most cities, frankly, occur very opportunistically. And while there's a lot of advantages to that, we find that there might be a systematic bias introduced in terms of where the trees end up. And as Jen was mentioning just moments ago, there is a clear distinction across sociodemographics and presence of tree canopy. So how we go about creating a systematic approach versus an opportunistic approach will really allow us to be far more strategic about where we put trees and have a defensible idea as to why we are putting them there. Working with community groups and bringing in a number of considerations that are effective in the biophysical, the social, as well as the policy and institutional dimensions, I think will be instrumental in creating such an integrated plan for linking the people with the landscapes they inhabit. With that, I'll turn it over back to Jen to conclude the presentation.
Yeah. Thank you, Vivek. Trees are essential city infrastructure for the services they provide to all of us. Contributions of our urban forest include things like cleaning our air, reducing high summer temperatures, which we now call urban heat island effect, improving the health of residents, managing our stormwater on site, making more livable, walkable, connected, and beautiful communities, and that list goes on. The dollar value of those services was estimated to be around $5 billion per year in Portland in the early 2000s. That's now an old figure, and we'll be updating that valuation soon. However, it still gives us a useful frame of reference for the importance of our trees in the city. So this is a photo of one of our neighborhoods that is relatively easily recognized from above. In earlier, less treed days, the Stumptown days. Today, Ladd's Addition looks very different. Today, trees are also a remarkable part of Portland's identity, which distinguishes our city from others nationwide. And today we know that the city's forest is inequitably distributed. Residents in tree-deficient neighborhoods receive fewer services from our city's forest. Often these neighborhoods are home to residents that really need those services. Changing this pattern takes special effort. And we now have an exciting new opportunity to grow our forest in strategic and sustainable ways and to maximize the services trees provide to us. It's a real opportunity to deliver those services to future generations of residents, no matter where they live in the city. We request that council accept the trust funds report and approve the ordinance to establish the IGA with Portland State University and Dr. Shondas for $50,000 to partner on development of a citywide tree planting strategy. Thank you.
Thank you both. Questions? Great presentation. Great partnership. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak on either of these items? If not, then...
Yeah, I move to accept the report.
Is there a second? Let's then do that. Let's adopt the report, please.
Thank you for that presentation. Thank you, Dr. Shondras, not only for partnering with us on this, but also for serving on the Urban Forestry Commission. I really appreciate your input, and it's exciting to be able to quantify what we're seeing and explain why we need trees in a very data-driven way. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you both. Aye.
Saltzman?
Thank you. Aye.
Hale.
You know, whether it's... partnerships like the one that we have with Friends of Trees or now with Portland State, or individuals, I remember going out and tacking up some of the first historical tree plaques with Jane Glazer. You know, it's really it's become a community effort, not just a community asset, although it's obviously a very important asset. And I love that about what's happened to the urban forest. Yes, of course, it's much better that Ladd's Addition looks like that now than it did then, but we also have a lot more people engaged and that really care about this. So I really appreciate that evolution, and this is a good part of that. So thank you for working well together. Aye. And then the ordinance will pass to second reading next week and be adopted then.
I might also just mention, draw people's attention to an op-ed that Jim Labby, formerly with the Audubon Society, wrote into the Street Roots last time.
It's
very interesting analysis of the issue about affordable housing and trees, which you also just showed us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move.